This is John from the FreeFromGod.com podcast. Today I am continuing on with the Foundations teachings that I began as the precursor to the Salvation Road sessions that are coming up. Foundations are important, and there are six foundations that we identified in the last session, and those six foundations come from Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. So I'm looking today at the first of these six foundations that were identified. The first of these is repentance. The Christian life begins with repentance, as we shall see shortly, and it's when we repent that we start our walk in Christ. Repentance is not simply being sorry, as some people think. It's a recognition of the majesty of the Lord and seeking to be made right in the eyes of God. Repentance is an act of humility, where we say to God that we recognise his righteousness and his authority as we reject the pride and arrogance of human passions and accept his loving grace, mercy, compassion and forgiveness. Repentance is the only way that we can come to God ready for him to help us to learn and grow. So the objectives out of this session are to understand the importance of repentance and to see what repentance really actually is. There are three sets of scriptures I want to look at, and they look at the three major ministries in the New Testament. The first one being in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" This is the first of the scriptures on repentance that we see in the work of John the Baptist. And in Matthew 4:17, we see a similar thing. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, just as John's ministry began with repentance, Jesus' ministry began with repentance too, because he said in Matthew 4:17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Both of these began their ministries in the same way. They spoke about repentance. Repentance is one of the foundations. And then again, over in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, where we see the beginning of the apostles' ministry after the Pentecost experience, they said this, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." And this is where Peter is speaking to the rest of the people in Jerusalem who had come together to hear and to see the amazing things that took place at Pentecost. And Peter stood up and spoke to them. They were cut to the heart because Peter showed them that they had rejected the Christ and had actually put him to death. So I'll just read that again. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So these three scriptures show the beginnings of the three key ministries of the New Covenant. In Matthew 3, 1 and 2, we see John the Baptist begins his work to prepare the way for Christ, who was to appear shortly, by teaching the people the ways of God, and he began with repentance. He taught them to turn away from a life of sin and towards a life of righteousness ready for Christ. Repentance must come first to prepare a person to be able to learn. Jesus then began his ministry with the same message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," as we see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And finally, when the 12 apostles began their ministry after Jesus had died, they began in the same way. Peter rose and spoke to all of the gathered people in Jerusalem on Pentecost Day. They were horrified when they realised that they'd killed the Messiah, and they asked Peter what they could do. And he said, "Repent and be baptised," as we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. Repentance is the first key to salvation, for it's a recognition that we are sinners and in need of a saviour. And it's also a humble recognition of the majesty of God, who offers salvation to us through Jesus Christ. Repentance then prepares us to receive the rest of the gifts and the ministries of God. Now, if we go over into Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 18 verses 21 to 23, we see what repentance actually looks like. And it says in verse 21, "But if a wicked man turns away from all his sins which he has committed, and keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. For the righteousness he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? This is a good description of what repentance is. It's a recognition by a person that they are living a life of sin and that they no longer wish to do so. And it's also where they decide to turn away from all forms of sin to try and do the will of God or to do what is pleasing to God. Now, you note in this section in Ezekiel that this is about the decisions a person makes and the actions following those decisions. This is important because it's how we think and believe and then act that determines where we stand with God. The actual Greek word, metanoia, is what is translated into English as repentance. And what it actually means is to change your mind. And that is what repentance is, to change your mind and think differently. To turn away from thinking and acting on how you feel and doing the evil the rest of the world does, and instead turning to God and seeking to do what's pleasing to Him. We see again over in Acts chapter 26, verse 20, and this is where Paul is describing to King Agrippa after his own conversion. He went to Damascus and then later to Jerusalem, teaching the people to repent and more significantly to perform deeds worthy of their repentance. He said these words, "But he declared first to those at Damascus, then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the country of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and perform deeds worthy of their repentance." John the Baptist said similar things, exhorting the people to bear fruits that befit repentance. And we see this over in Matthew 3, verse 8, and Luke chapter 3, verse 8 also. Repentance is not just being sorry for making a mistake and breaking God's law. It's about changing the way you think, changing your heart, changing your attitudes and desiring to do what's right in God's sight and doing it. Like a tree that slowly puts forth new shoots, leaves and buds until the time it begins to bear fruit, so too, as we grow in Christ Jesus, we will likewise bear the fruit of the Lord. And the spiritual fruits of the Lord are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. And we see these over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where it talks about these as being the fruits of the Spirit. The repentant life and the repentant person will bear these fruits as they seek to live in the will of God. Now, over in Romans chapter 2, verses 2 to 11, we read these words. "We know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who do such things. Do you suppose, O man, that when you judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume upon the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not know that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But by your hard and impenitent heart you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. For he will render to every man according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are factious and do not obey the truth but obey wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honour and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality." Now, there were some in Paul's day who wrongfully thought that they could continue to sin because God's grace would cover them. If they sinned, they just repented and moved on, relying on the grace of God to cover their sin. Now, unfortunately, there is a similar kind of thinking in certain parts of the modern church today. There is a movement that's called Once Saved, Always Saved, and that uses this same kind of thinking, this same kind of philosophy, saying that once you've been saved, well, it doesn't matter what you do after that. You can do whatever you like, and you are covered, and you will still be saved. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. The grace of God is not meant to be a get-out-of-jail-free card, to cover your sins and mistakes, allowing you to sin and get off scot-free. Instead, God's grace is a safety net that provides forgiveness when we inadvertently fall, as we will from time to time during our walk with Christ. God's grace is the mercy, the compassion and kindness he offers to encourage us to get back up and keep on walking. As verse 4 in this section said, God's kindness, his grace, is meant to lead you to repentance. But those who act licentiously, as described in this section, will suffer for their wrongdoings. And this is what this Once Saved, Always Saved ministry is. It's a ministry of licentiousness. Now, if we continue on and have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 10, we see these words. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. You felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret, but worldly grief produces death. Those who seek to use God's grace and repentance licentiously will fail, for as the last scripture shows, God's grace is meant to lead us to repentance. But God knows we're weak, humans who need the help of a saviour. And so he's allowed us to have access to his grace so that when we do fall or when we fail, we can get up and move past our failures and continue to walk to his kingdom. To that end, he shows us that when we recognise our failures and are true to the word, we grieve for the wrong we've done because our desires are to please God. And that grief we feel at our failures leads us to repent and through repentance to grow as we receive his grace. The godly grief for what we've done wrong leads us forward to salvation. Worldly grief, on the other hand, depresses and pushes people down to death. They receive no salvation through worldly grief, but they suffer, and that leads to death. Now we look at a scripture over in Acts chapter 11, verse 18. And it says this, "When they heard this, they were silenced, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance unto life.'" Repentance and the grace through which we are forgiven of our sins and all of our failings and weaknesses was first preached to the Jews. But here we see that the offer of repentance that leads to life is not just offered to Jews, it's available to Gentiles as well. And as such, it's offered freely to all mankind, doesn't matter whether they're Jew or Gentile, everyone has the same equal opportunity to come into God's grace and to enter life through repentance. And that same offer is open to us today. Another scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 to 10 says this, "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up." The day of the Lord and his return aren't known and cannot be known by any man. Anyone who tries to predict the time of the Lord's return is acting foolishly, for we're told in the Bible that no one knows the day. That's why we need to use the days we have to find the way to God's kingdom. And that process begins with repentance. God has said it's not his desire that anyone should be lost. But the decision to come into his kingdom, or not to come into his kingdom, is not one that he will force on anyone. It's our decision. It's our decision to come to him, and it's our decision to seek his will and his way through Jesus Christ so that we can find salvation and life. Anyone who shows even a glimmer of interest in finding him, he'll encourage, for he would like all of mankind to find salvation. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 10, we see this. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbours, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbours, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Lord is seeking all of mankind to come to him and to be saved. Many will not. But whenever a person does come to him in repentance, turning away from their sins and the ways of this world, there is great rejoicing in heaven. Imagine that. When you came to Christ, seeking God's way and repented of your sins, And of course, I'm assuming that you have done this. If you haven't done this, well, when you do it, then the angels of God rejoiced, or will rejoice, and were glad for you. And God gave you grace to forgive you and began the process to help you fulfill and receive all that he offers his people. So be joyful and be glad that you're in his will, and seek to walk closer with Jesus to find all that he will show you. The last scripture I want to have a look at is over in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. It says this: "There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" There's a much overlooked aspect of repentance and coming to God that we see in this particular verse. The people of God who repent and come to Christ Jesus have a protection that is not afforded to the rest of the world. They are protected by the power of God. We see here Jesus describing two incidents that took place in his time on earth. People died in these incidents, and Jesus asks whether those who died were any worse than anyone else at that particular time. And he answers saying that they were no better or no worse than anyone else. They basically just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But look what he concludes in this lesson that he gives. "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." There is a protection in repentance and coming to the Lord, because he takes care of his people. Those in the world have no protection and will be at the mercy of the events going on around them. But the people of the Lord are being watched over by him. So come to him, receive his protection and his salvation that leads to life. So in closing, there's a few questions that you ought to consider. Firstly, do you see the power of repentance and why it's so important to the Christian life? And then, what is it that underpins repentance and sits as a foundation to repentance? Why do you think it's necessary for people to repent? Is repentance a one-time thing, or do you think it continues on? And if so, why? These questions above have not all been answered in the text of this session, so you need to think about them. Pray to the Lord, seek his insight. Or if you have a question, you can always send me a question and I'll gladly try and answer whatever it is that you might have to say. You can get my email address off my website and you can send me any questions you might have. If you have not humbled yourself and repented, asking the Lord for his forgiveness, then do it now. Seek his forgiveness and move forward as you search out his pathway to salvation and life. Spend a few moments in prayer now to consider what you need to repent of and ask the Lord for his forgiveness. Thank him also for his forgiveness, which is given to those who truly repent from the heart. Now, this is all I'm going to say about repentance in this session. I'm going to move on to the next topic next time, because the foundations all build upon each other. Repentance is the first key foundation. You can't move forward in the Lord without being humble and being repentant. In the next session, we see the beginnings of why this is important as we study the next of the foundations of Christianity, which is righteousness by faith. So until then, I hope you have a good day and a good week ahead, and be blessed in the Lord.